During this Lent, we've been reflecting on the different keys to a greater freedom in Christ. It's the freedom that Jesus wants to give us. The underlying assumption being that even though we feel relatively free, that freedom is not really complete or very broad. And the more we progress spiritually, the more freedom of movement and vision that we have. We can choose more things, we can will more things. And we reflected already on the first key of faith and repentance, and then last Sunday on the key of forgiveness. And today I propose that we reflect on the third key, which is renunciation. That is, renouncing the false voices that enslave us. In the gospel we just heard, in a bit of a striking way, we hear that Jesus drove out all the people who were selling animals and changing money. It was connected with temple worship. It was a practical thing. You know, people came from all over the world to bring their offering, their sacrifice, and they couldn't come from Egypt or Syria with sheep or doves or animals. And so they would just change money, buy them. So it seemed practical. But it made things not very good and messy in the temple. And I think a key to understand why Jesus did this is that it was a prophetic action. I mean, I don't think he had any intention of changing the culture and how things were done in the temple. I mean, those vendors would be back in 3 days. I mean, if you ever try to kick out vendors from a place, you know how impossible that is. So what he really wanted to do is an action that would stay in people's mind, in their memories. I mean, we still remember this today. It sticks with you. And it's because it symbolizes what he came to do. He came from the Father to cleanse the temple of our hearts, purify them. He came to give us a new worship, that we may worship the Father in spirit and truth. But before the Holy Spirit could come to worship in us, Jesus needs to cleanse it from all that is impure, all the things that enslave us. And particularly, he wants to liberate us from the lies, the false voices, the untruths, the falsehoods about ourselves that at times we have become accustomed to. These lies can be even deeply held convictions that we have been allowing, and so they have become dear to us. And they're not always easy to detect because they become a sort of lens through which we see reality. They're not just something that I look at, but rather is the lens through which I look at other experiences and situations in life. So they become a sort of hidden principle, sort of second nature way of reacting to things and feeling about things that I have become used to. So let me share a couple of stories to illustrate how this might work in our case. There's a story of this girl called Jamie, a 16-year-old who was having a lot of trouble in her youth group. She was intimidating others around her. She controlled and manipulated people in her family and around her. And in a moment of crisis, when things got really heated, she was referred to this prayer group and a ministry of a man called Bill, a Catholic leader in prayer. And Bill and his team met Jamie and they began talking about what was going on. So Jamie began to share that she lived with her mom and her stepfather. Her mom was an alcoholic. Her birth father had divorced Jamie's mother. And she acknowledged that she did things that made other people dislike her, even though she didn't want to do that in deep down. It was a sort of form of self-sabotage. And after listening for a while, Bill reflected back to her what he was hearing. This is what you're telling me, Jamie. And what it looks like is that you're protecting yourself by rejecting people before they have the chance to reject you. It's like you know that you have this conviction that eventually people will not like you, they will reject you. So before they have the chance to do that, you just reject them yourself and so remain in control. Sometime later, as Jamie was healing and growing in her faith, she said, "When Bill described the way I was feeling, it was the first time I ever saw what was going on in me objectively. I had never come to recognize that. This pattern of thinking and reacting had become part of myself. And even the way I saw God and I saw the gospel and other people was twisted by my way of thinking that I haven't quite realized it was there. I would make people mad on purpose so as to control the situation and avoid feeling hurt by them again." So Bill and his team began to pray for Jamie, but at some point they asked her, "Jamie, if you want to get over this, you need to say out loud, you need to renounce rejection in your life. You need to renounce the spirit of rejecting other people and thinking that everybody will reject you." And she did. It was a kind of a tough thing to say, but as soon as she said it, this great peace entered her heart. And it was a pivotal moment. She said that after that, she still struggled, but she experienced a greater strength and freedom to do things. The other story is a story of a man called Patrick, who once shared with me that he grew up being bullied and rejected. This man was, at the time, a talented kid, very, very bright, but also a bit insecure, a bit socially awkward. And so some people made fun of him, bullied him in some situations in life. And as a consequence, he began to buy into this competitive and vengeful idea of his life. He said, "No, I can get ahead of all these bullies and all these people, and I can beat them, I can show them who I am. One day they will regret all that they did to me. I will get even, I will beat them, I will prove them wrong." And so he says, as a result of listening to this voice, Patrick began to, I mean, his life became a whole quest of excelling and becoming better than everybody else, but not just to help people, but just to be better, just to feel superior. But he says, as his pride grew, also he felt increasingly miserable, isolated. His life had no real deep purpose. Those lies didn't provide a purpose that was real enough for him to pursue. And only after he converted years later and he came to Christ, only then he began to recognize that this voice was there, that this lie about his life had entered him. It's not uncommon for these false voices to enter our souls, especially as a result of some painful experience in life. Maybe you experienced abandonment at some point, or you suffered humiliation, people made fun of you in front of others, or you suffered an act of aggression in words or acts. You suffered neglect or lack of love from someone who was supposed to protect you and didn't. And that void or that humiliation or that hurt led you to start to listen to these weird voices suddenly. You know, it's like this kid, this boy, this girl is sent to the room as a punishment, you time out. And then your head starts spinning and say, "Well, what if I die? And the last thing my parents remember is that they sent me to my room." And you start to listen to all these weird thoughts, right? This anger and this frustration. If you were humiliated, you might start to feel and think like Patrick, this vengeful thinking, "I'll get even. I'll prove them all wrong. I'll just beat them." Or maybe you always lived under someone else's shadow. You've always been compared to someone who was better than you, or faster, or brighter, had better grades. And so you start to feel this lie saying, "No, you're never good enough. Why try?" Others may have felt like Jamie, this idea that if people really knew you, they wouldn't like you, they would reject you. And so you start hearing this voice saying, "People are not going to like you. The only thing they like about you is if you have money, if you're successful, if you have good looks, if you're bright, if you have talent. But if they know who you are, they're not going to like you. Maybe it's the idea that you cannot trust others because they betrayed you, failed you, and so you start hearing this whisper, don't trust. You shouldn't rely on anyone. You can only trust yourself. You shouldn't rely on anyone for your sense of well-being. So if you sense that any of these false voices have entered your soul, nested, have become nested in your heart, today Jesus is inviting you to break this chain, to get rid of this voice. He wants to purify your heart. He wants to open the windows and let the light come in so that your heart may become a temple where the Holy Spirit can dwell and there's true worship of the Father is there. But then Jesus needs you to cooperate with this. Jesus cannot kick these voices out and just get rid of it, because they will come back, like the vendors. They will be back. At some point in life, if these voices are there, it's because at some point you gave them permission to be there. So in order for Jesus to heal you, you need to withdraw that permission. You need to say, that's no longer the case. I realize this is a lie, this is false. I don't want to live this way. I want to be overcome. I want to break this chain. If you'd like to do that, I invite you to follow these steps this week. First one is to expose any of these patterns of behavior, wrong thinking, lies about yourself, about life, about God, about people. Think of the ones I've mentioned here in this homily. Maybe there's others that you might discover on your own by praying and introspection. Write them down. There may be a feeling, there may be a quick judgment, there may be a perception. Try to give them a voice. These lies are like little characters that have a voice and they say things. So try to pin down what these characters are saying. The second step is to renounce them. It's to cast them out, renounce them. If you can give that voice a name, do it. It's helpful to call them rejection, hatred, dislike of myself, anger, condemnation, control, manipulation, whatever that voice is, you name it. And then say, in the name of Jesus, I renounce this. I renounce rejection. I renounce hatred. If you can do it with a spiritual guide or someone that you can trust, that much better. If you don't have that possibility, just do it in your room. Just do it before the Blessed Sacrament. And then the third step is to replace that false voice with the truth about yourself. It's not only about removing what's wrong, but also placing there the truth that this lie is distorting and twisting. So, for example, if you were tempted to believe that nobody would like you, that nobody could accept you, now listen to Jesus saying how much he deeply cares for you, how he's watched over you every day of your life, he's always been with you, how the Father loves you deeply. You can imagine Jesus standing in front of you and uttering these truths directly to you. Well, today, Jesus, the Lord, is entering the temple of your heart. He's going to drive out these voices, these lies that don't come from the Father, that don't come from him. He wants to speak light into your heart. And he wants your cooperation, your permission to do so. So may we start right here, right now, and allow the Lord to start this work. Lord Jesus, thank you that you call me to live in the light. Pour your Holy Spirit into my soul this Lent, that I may recognize all these false voices for what they are. Lord, they are distortions. They are falsehoods. they're not me. I renounce these lies in your name, Lord. And I ask you to open my ears to receive from you what is true, the truth about myself and about others, the truth that will set me free. In your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.